And now, a personal favourite of mine, stay right here for another instalment from Documentally.
So we've got a Rode NT4 and a Rode NTG 4 Plus plugged into the Mix Pre 6. And I'm using the Rode NT4 to record kind of stereo ambient background. And I'm using the NTG 4 Plus, and I might drop the background down just a bit because we are in a car park outside of TK Maxx. And I'm using the NTG 4 to capture our voices. R being my voice, Christian Payne, and
my voice, Adrian Story.
Adrian lives not too far away from where we're sat, and I'm parked not too far away from where we're sat. So this seems to be the opportune meeting place, besides being one of the only benches in Huntingdon.
Well, yeah, and also means we don't go in a greasy spoon cafe when it's glorious blue skies and sunshine. So that seems like a good plan straight away.
Yeah, it's something about the sounds of cafes and the overheard conversations, but what with it not technically being a public place, I don't know where I would stand on recording that.
Well, I don't know. It's just I find the smell of Brexit voter quite offensive, so that's why I can't go in the cafe.
And that's exactly the reason why I want to be in the cafe. I mean, I'd love to do a vox pop around Huntingdon. It's got a bit of a shadowy reputation that's cropped up in the last 5 years or so, hasn't it?
Huntingdon? Yeah. It's still got a massive heroin problem. We've found that there's some new heroin dealers on our road, of which the police are, and I'm doing inverted commas with my fingers, which you can't see, and I apologise, but the police are aware, but they're just not doing anything about it. So there's a halfway house, and the heroin dealers are now hanging around outside the halfway house to deal to the people inside the halfway house. There is another heroin dealer who lives up the road. They're quite intimidating, heroin dealers. I don't know how many you've come across, but they're not. Hey, Terry, how are you? He's not one of the heroin dealers, no. I don't know them by name.
That would have been perfect if it was. Hi, Terry, just talking about you.
He's my dad's friend. He's another artist. He's another one who I should be making a film about, then, because there's four of them who've known each other since college. This conversation's jumping around a bit now. Terry's done that. Blame Terry. It's always Terry's fault.
Put the kibosh on it. That's lovely to have the goodness of art and artists residing in Huntingdonshire. When there's also a lot of racists.
I think there are probably quite a lot of racists, yeah. There does seem to be...
A campaign, wasn't there, around flyering of Polish and Eastern European immigrants where people were translating the hatred into the chosen language and popping it through the letterboxes, which must have been incredibly harrowing for the families.
I think it was probably horrible, but I think one of the most interesting things about that story, which is the most underreported part about that story, is the week after it happened, there was a massive anti-racism march in Huntingdon because of those flyers, because the other half of the population came out and said, actually, you know what, that's fucking out of order. We're not standing for that, and we're going to have a march to show you that we're not standing for that. And I think that that part of it was very underreported. The flyering of the Polish families, which was utterly disgusting, got reported in national media, but I don't think the anti-racism march did.
No, which is it's not titillating enough, is it really?
But there you go. I mean, 70% of the people vote Tory, so what do you expect?
70%?
So one of the safest Tory seats in the country.
Yeah, it's... Well, we'll see what happens.
I don't know about you, but the word Tory just is a misspelling of fascist from where I'm sat.
Do you know where the word Tory comes from?
No.
It's slang for thief, I think.
That seems reasonable.
I'm pretty sure it's something to do with thief or criminal. I'm just going to adjust the microphone ever so slightly. So, as you can see, the Rode NTG4 is sat in a suspension mount, but the foam is ever so slightly touching that suspension mount. This is the cheaper version of the mounts you can get because it weighs next to nothing. I think I bought this for £5 or £6 off eBay instead of 40 or 50, which some of them can cost, and I quite like it.
It works well. You don't have. I've never.
Would you like to have a listen and a record whilst we just do a headphone swap?
Red to the right.
Now I'm handing the headphones and the microphone over to a person formerly known as the Dalai Lama's sound engineer. So please be gentle.
Yeah, I'll try.
You might want to adjust the mix.
Oh, no, I'm good. It sounds good. It's these Rode shotgun mics are incredible for the price. Not just for the price, they're extremely good mics.
I think that when I look at the hours and hours of comparisons on YouTube, and it's the Rode blah blah versus the Rode blah blah versus. I was watching one this morning, and it was the NTG3 maybe, and NTG2 and the 3 versus £1,000 shotgun mic. And in there's a variety of conditions. Obviously, shotgun mics behave in many different ways, but they decided that the Rodes were kind of, on the whole, across all of these different environments, the best bet. Not just because of the money and them being the fraction of the price.
So the other one that's interesting is Deity, that company that's sort of was part of Aperture, and their new shotgun mics, because everyone's saying that they are even better.
In a few of the videos that I saw, Deity came quite low. I was looking at them because they're really, really cheap. But they were coming quite low because I think the noise floor was there. Now, if you're using certain softwares which are going to get rid of any of that kind of microphone noise, it's probably not that much of an issue to you. But if you're going to be spending a fortune on your preamp enhanced recorders to get the lowest possible noise floor, then I think you probably wanted to be doing the same with the mics.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't watched any comparisons. I've met the Deity guys, and
I'm too tight not to watch hours and hours and hours and hours. The amount of videos that I've watched before purchasing the Sound Devices Mix Pre 6, and then the moment I bought it, epic buyer's remorse, because I have recorders which probably will suit my needs. But you know what it's like. If you're going to buy something, buy the absolute best you can afford. Even though I might not be shooting 8K pristine video, I still want the ability to do that. The same with this, will record bats. I'll never hear it with my ears, but it has the resolution. And maybe I do want to start adding effects and stretching sounds and using contact mics, in which I do because I ordered one today, really, really weird and wonderful ways. Then this will come into itself. So future-proofing.
Yeah, all that high-end's wasted on your old man ears, though.
You'd think so. I've been doing some tests as well, you know, and so have you. There was an online site which was playing a high-resolution track, and then the age scale was going up. I've got much younger ears than my age, so I've still got a few years left. You probably can't hear this. Whereas that's ear-piercing to me.
And to dogs and children. It's like, I need to be able to do that to ward off children.
They do use, don't they use classical music for that, which is something you're quite fond of. Just get a massive, big stereo system on your shoulder.
Boombox. I believe you're still allowed to call it a boombox.
Boombox, yes, exactly. You got that on your shoulder, bit of classical, FM, pumping out.
I could do it. I could walk around town with a boombox blasting out Brahms.
Oh, or Bartok if you want it to be really dark. And there you are. We'll have a drone overhead and you'll just see this, like, Moses-esque parting of the hordes. The younger hordes.
I'm pretty sure it'd scare off everyone around here.
So what are your thoughts on the audio quality? Would you be happy listening to this as a radio show or podcast?
It does sound incredibly good. It's really interesting having the ambient mic plugged in as well.
Shall I turn that off?
No, it's nice. It's kind of an interesting... because we're recording onto separate channels.
But we're only recording onto... No, we're mixing to stereo.
Oh, we're mixing to stereo straight away.
So maybe I should...
No, it's fine.
Okay. I like it.
It's just kind of... Maybe can you... can you just turn down the ambient mic as I'm talking and then let me hear what the difference sounds like? So now that's the ambient mics are completely out now. Yes, well, it's interesting.
Because this is going to get whatever's obviously behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the shotgun mic is relatively directional. If I dial it back up, this is dialing up the NT4 stereo mic. Is it picking up ambience?
Yep, I can hear more of the car doors in the background. Yeah.
It would make much more sense if we were sat on a beautiful hillside with the birds singing and tweeting, which you don't really want to miss, or have that coming in and out of a directional shotgun mic. I think stabilising the ambient sound is a good way to go. And this is me not knowing anything really about mixing sound.
Oh, there we are. That was a good bit of stereo.
It's a great mic. It's heavy. And it requires me to carry a spare PP9 battery as well as... Well, the actual shotgun mic we're using doesn't use a battery. It's USB charged. And if you don't keep hold of the USB lead that comes with it, you find yourself whittling the plastic off random USB leads around the house.
But it lasts for ages and ages and ages once it's charged, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just get paranoid and plug it in whenever I'm not really using it, because the last thing you want is to take it out and it's only got an hour left. But there's nothing stopping you topping it up. I've got a badass RAV Power 20,680 something milliamp hour battery, which is powering the Mix Pre-6, and it just gives me such a sense of calm knowing that I've got more than the 40 minutes the AA's would probably last.
I think there's something wrong with me, because the thing about this entire setup, I'm quite used to having mics and stuff around, but the thing about this entire thing that's making me the most excited is the super short USB lead, rather than a big coiled up USB lead.
I've purchased some recently. In fact, I bought four USB leads. I bought a 75 centimeter, a 50 centimeter, and a 1 meter, and another 1 meter, just to see what was going to work well for me. And it's liberating. I should have got them in orange and red though.
I recently had to do it with a HDMI lead. A micro HDMI to full-size HDMI to plug in my monitor, and the 50 centimetre one, which is arguably a little too long anyway, was more than double the price of the 1 metre one. So someone somewhere is having a laugh.
What can you do?
Make your own.
What are you actually recording to when you're filmmaking?
What, for audio?
Yeah.
I'm using the, for most of the time, I'm just using the camera itself, so I go straight into the camera. I do have a Saramonics dual XLR input that I can use, but most of the time, for interviews and stuff, I just straight out the wireless mic into the camera. And to be honest, the preamps on the camera are a lot better than preamps on cameras used to be, so it sounds really, really okay. I do occasionally have to do a little bit of denoising, but I honestly don't really notice it being that bad.
How do you feel about not having the redundancy?
I will record slightly lower for the level, and generally speaking, for an interview, you're all right, apart from that situation that we talked about earlier where someone laughs very loudly and then you can get a problem. The redundancy is nice, but most of the time I'm shooting without a sound mount, so it's me, so it's a pain in the arse to stop and start things, mate. And then, you know, if you remember to stop and start the camera, but you forget to do it with the audio recorder, then when you come to post, you're like, okay, which file goes with which thing, and all of that kind of stuff. So I figure that it's worth sacrificing the redundancy to have less points of failure in the workflow.
Yeah, I mean, I always like having a backup, but if I really do trust the gear, then you really trust the gear and you just want it to be as simple a workflow as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Otherwise, you've got too much to worry about. It's bad enough being the camera person, the audio guy, the lighting guy, and then trying to interview as well without having to worry about one more thing. So you're just trying to reducing the number of things you have to worry about.
What was your kit setup? And I know you were working with another guy when you were recording the Dalai Lama's speeches.
We were actually not recording them. They were being... It was a live broadcast, so we were... we had... he was just wearing, like, a wireless lav mic, and then we were broadcasting the translators, who had a headphone feed of the what he was saying, and then they had wireless mics that were broadcasting in their translated language. I think some of the individual translators were recording their own translations, and actually, now I come to think of it, I think the talks themselves were recorded as well, but I think they were being filmed by someone, and they had a feed from the desk.
Gotcha. I was going to say, it seems weird to not be recording and archiving something as important as that.
Yeah, I mean, he does, obviously, he does so many teachings all the time, and I'm fairly sure that they get all of them get recorded. I was more in charge of making sure that the wireless mics for the translators were all working.
Yeah, I've not listened to any of the Dalai Lama's teachings. I've read some, but I've listened to an awful lot of Alan Watts's. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I know who Alan Watts is. I would say go to the source.
Go to the source.
I.e. the Dalai Lama. As much as I love Alan Watts.
But he's more... Wasn't he more...
Zen?
Yeah. Zen and a lot of Japanese philosophies outside of the Dalai Lama shtick.
Yeah. So an unnamed Tibetan Buddhist once said to me, oh yeah, Zen, or, you know, sort of Hinayana Buddhism in Southeast Asia, it's like a half full glass of wine that's been watered down.
He's a big fan then.
No, I can't possibly comment.
I'm pretty sure that Alan Watts only drank extra strong wine to wash down his acid, if I'm totally honest. I think that might be why I like him. He seemed to have found a way of kicking open pretty much every door in his mind and leaving it ajar. Yeah. On that note, let's wrap up this mic test stroke conversation. And all praise to Sound Devices Mix Pre 6 and its simplicity in basic mode, because I still can't get advanced mode working properly. But the uber simplicity of the Rode NT4 and the NTG4 in a busy Huntingdon outside TK Maxx on a very cold concrete bench. Documentally.